You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN App, SiriusXM Channel 80, all of our great stations across the country, including ESPN LA, with the Malibu Beach House that Aaron Rodgers is at, that we are just dreaming about this morning.
I ain't mad at him for staying at the Malibu Beach
now
House.
Now you're not.
No, I'm not mad at him for it, but it's just like, don't be throwing things out there and lobbing things out there and saying your teammates should do this when you're not in it with them. That's all I'm saying.
But
that's
again,
all I'm saying.
He's at the Malibu Beach.
Talk is
house.
Cheap when you're not in the locker room with the guys.
So one of the interesting stories that's developing here in the NFL as we get ready for week four is that the New England Patriots signed Will Greer, okay? Will Greer, people may remember he played college football at Florida and then at West Virginia. But Brian Windhorst meme right now, or GIF, why? Why? Why would we be talking about the Patriots signing Will Greer? Makes no sense. Well, he was with the Cowboys for a little bit, and Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator, had this to say about Will Greer joining the Patriots.
We're always aware of it. You know, those are things that we monitor every week, but certainly we know Will knows where a lot of the bones are buried. Zeke obviously does as well. So those are things you talk about, and you think about, okay, let's adjust this one. We certainly have more than one hand signal for most of our core concepts. And sometimes, babe, as you know, you can use it to your advantage because they think that they know what's coming and they hear something. They think, oh, hey, it's this, and we're smart enough to adjust those things. So, again, everybody does it. You get a player that's been somewhere. You bring them in. You talk to them about different things, and then you're very selective about how much you put into it. And so, again, excited to see Will. It'd be great to see him, but I'm sure he's definitely being interrogated and probably spending a lot of late nights with their defensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm going to guess he's talking to Babe Laufenberg, by the way, the former quarterback who's in the media in Dallas there. But he's being interrogated, okay? Interesting. So Bill O'Brien, the Patriots offensive coordinator, had this to say in response to that yesterday.
I think that's the way it is, you know, every week in this league, every year in this league. You know, there's going to be guys that come into your organization off of teams that you're about to play, and it goes both ways. You know, it's always going to happen. So, you know, I don't think that really, at the end of the day, you got to study the film. Everybody's got to be on the same page with what we're doing. You know, I've never thought in my years in the league that any of that was a real overriding factor in a win or a loss. It comes down to the players on the field and the coaches putting the players in the right positions to make plays. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I don't think we're trying to hold a light over anybody and, you know, tell me what you did on, you know, July 20th of 2023. We're not doing that. We're not interrogating anybody. We're just trying to put together the best game plan we possibly can.
All right, so I think this becomes a headline this morning because it's the Patriots. I mean, let's be honest about that, right? And I get it, and I, even as a Pats fan, I can acknowledge that. But at the same time, it's not like we don't see teams signing guys off of other teams' practice squads going into games. Sure, there is intel, and it's legal. It's not like the NFL has said you cannot sign a player off of another practice squad the week of the game against that team. But CeCe, you played 11 years in the league. My guess is this happens all the time, but we make a big deal about it because of the team in this case.
Oh, no doubt. And you're always looking to get a competitive advantage. Sometimes you do it the legal way with signing a guy off of somebody else's practice squad. Other times, not so much. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened with Spygate. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from spending over a decade in the NFL, they weren't the only ones that had video of other teams' practices. It's just a fact of the matter. Like, I remember playing in the league, and there was a team that I played for where we actually had film of the team's practices. We had the all 22 and the end zone copy going into that week to play that team. We had the film and we were watching what they were doing. So it's not as if this doesn't happen around the National Football League. But as far
without naming names, How do you acquire something like that?
Is
that?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
So that should, no, I'm saying, so it's just shown to you.
I don't know.
Like, right,
nobody knows how we get it.
Yeah.
It just shows up, and guess what? We got it in the film room. We got it on our iPads for the week, and then after it's done, after we play the game, it magically disappears. Nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows where it went. But I will say that we had it, and that's the most important thing you got to understand. And listen, it's not about trying to make sure that you're making every single play, you've got intel for every single snap, every single thing that the opponent is going to do. It's about being able to have that intel for that one game-changing play. Like the side adjustment that the quarterback makes at the line of scrimmage on an out route in the corner, knows it, and he jumps it for a pick six. That's the play that you're playing for.
Right.
Or understanding on that short yardage situation or goal line situation. These are the concepts that they're going to go to. And if they line up in this formation, this is what they're going to do. Those are the... point in case, the New England Patriots in Super Bowl, what was it, 49 against the Seattle Seahawks? What did Malcolm Brown say? He said Bill Belichick told him in practice that week, this is what they're going to run. They ran the play, he got an interception, and won the damn Super Bowl.
Well, there's the famous video NFL Films has of Brian Flores, the then defensive coach for the Pats, screaming for Malcolm Butler to go in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they knew that with that formation, they actually throw out of it and not run out of it, and
exactly.
They put an extra defensive back in there at the goal line, which is unheard of to do that.
No, exactly, but that's my point, though. Having that intel from somebody that was in the building with the Dallas Cowboys is helpful in terms of being able to put together the game plan and giving guys those little nuggets that give them a competitive advantage, and maybe they can make that game-changing play on Sunday.
We'll walk through that for a second. So let's use the Will Grier case since it's there. So Will Grier gets the Pats. Let's assume they're signing him because they want an extra quarterback. Do they sit down with him and say, before we get into our stuff, what do you know about Dallas?
No, this is something that happens after everybody else leaves the building. At least that's how I was accustomed to seeing it done. Like, once you have all of the meetings, the players are getting ready to go home, they would pull aside a guy that was with another team and say, hey, let's chat a little bit about what you know.
Which is totally legal.
Kind of the signals, the system, the concepts, the different strengths and weaknesses of personnel. Those would be the things that you go through. And everybody does it. This is something that happens league-wide. And so I think with the Patriots, there's a heightened sensitivity because of what we've seen with Spygate and in Deflategate. Like, they are habitual line steppers, so everybody's going to, you know, to pay attention to what they're doing. It gets magnified. But I'm telling you guys, everybody in the NFL does this. And so, yeah, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, they're fully aware of it, but I don't know that changing up the hand signals midweek and in week four is going to ultimately be something that allows you to mitigate what Will Grier and Ezekiel Elliott already know about your offense and about your team.
If everybody in the league is doing it, why is it only the Patriots that we focus on that? I'm not defending them, please.
Oh,
I'm from St. Louis. I'm not defending them.
Yeah. I take that back.
I'm just curious, are they bad at covering it up? Are they better at taking advantage of the intel that they then get? Why then, if everybody else is doing it and it's so pervasive, are we only really hearing about the Patriots being, as you said, habitual line steppers?
It's the latter. It's the latter. That's what it's about. I mean, Belichick has been the head coach there over two decades, and he's never gone back-to-back seasons being out of the playoffs. Like that they've had overwhelming success. They've got six rings with him as the head coach. Like that's why everybody's hating on the Patriots, because they had the mountaintop. Like it's the program that has defined the 2000s. And so everybody is going to take their shots. And right now, because of the climate and because of everybody being well aware of all of the exposés and the different things that have come out of there, people are going to point and say they're the bad guys, when in actuality, everybody in the league is doing it.
So let me go back to one thing. So the practice happens, the new guy's there, he's going through practice, the coaches say to the new guy, hey, stick around for a couple of minutes, we want to ask you a couple of questions about, you know, your ex-team. Have you ever seen or heard about a player that says, no, I don't want to do that,
no,
that's not right?
Never heard of that. Never heard. If you like your job, you're going to tell them. Whatever, yeah, whatever the hell you know, you're going
to
tell them.
Yeah, why would you be loyal to the other
exactly
team?
Exactly.
Maybe somebody
your
would feel like team. It's wrong to do that, and I can't share that. And then the
it's
other thing.
It's wrong to do that?
I don't know. I'm asking a question.
It's such a competitive business, though, Ev. That's the thing, man. It's so hard to win in this league. And as a player, when the team is signing your checks, you'll do anything to help that team be able to win. If that means disclosing information that you have on your former team, then so be it. If your former team was so concerned with it, they shouldn't have let you go in the first damn
place.
That's
right. And it enhances your value, right,
exactly,
to have that information.
No doubt.
Do you still have, like, a playbook from any of your teams at home? Oh, was that not a good question to ask? Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
I can't answer that question, Al.
Oh, really?
I can't answer that question.
So you okay?
Because you're supposed to return all of the materials when you leave the team,
right?
So you know, I can't answer that question,
right? So theoretically, somebody's supposed to return the materials, and let's say theoretically that person then does not return the materials. You bring them, that person brings them home with you. What do you, like the team could get that back at some point. You could give that to another team. Like that's what they're afraid of there in that spot. Like, hey, we better make sure we get every one of these pieces of information back.
Who the hell wants their playbook floating around, Ev?
Right.
But nobody wants their playbook floating around.
Now it's digital, right? When you played, was it digital or no?
See how he's asking these questions as a Patriots fan.
Some of it was digital, some of it was paper. But I mean, nobody wants any of those materials floating around.
And was there
and they're on iPads.
Do you see
so
this?
It's not like you can't get information off
the
iPad.
Oh, no, he's defended the Patriots every which way, Smalls. Everybody listening and watching right now actually has to take a step back and say, oh, this stinks. It's everybody. It's not just them. Because people are making a big deal. I saw headlines this morning about, you know, the interrogation that, Brian Schottenheimer of the Cowboys is saying.
But let's also keep it in the proper perspective, though. The reason why the Patriots get caught is probably because they do it more than anybody else.
Well, that's smarter.
That's the thing. Like, it's just like they've gotten caught with a couple of things. How many more things behind the scenes have they done that we don't know about?
Oh, I'm sure
like,
there's
that's
so
That's the other part of the game. You know
so
what I'm
much.
Saying?
Yeah, if after Spygate, when you're already in the big public eye because of, you know, the cheating.
Allegedly.
They burned the tapes, Evan, okay? They burned the tapes.
Right.
What's
right.
on the tapes?
Deflategate, we can't find Tom Brady's phone.
That's what I'm
saying. With the text messages on it.
Like,
we don't know where none of this stuff is.
Wrong.
Bill Belichick don't know what the hell is going on. You got to ask Tom.
Come on.
Man. I read that entire
240 out there,
pages.
Boy.
I read all 246 pages of that Wells report.
Okay.
It's ridiculous what people did to him.
I think only you and Wells were the only ones that read every single
page. I never want to talk about PSI ever again.
But to answer your question, yes, we're now going to go down this road for a second.
There were
other teams that were actually penalized for the level, the deflation in footballs. Yet the only team that ever is brought up is New England. Again, with this situation that we're talking about today, if this were a game, if this was Miami and Buffalo, and it was the exact same situation, it's a much bigger game than Cowboys and Patriots this weekend, right? Those two teams are the Dolphins are top two or three in your power rankings.
Yep.
And Buffalo, I think you had six outside looking in the power rankings, right? You didn't have New England even close to it, and Dallas was still in there. So those two teams are significantly better. That should be a better game than Dallas and New England this weekend. If it happened in the exact same way, a practice squad quarterback from one team to another team, ultimately, I think with a stop at Cincinnati in between, exact same situation, we wouldn't have the word interrogation.
Yeah, it'd be a non-story.
Non-story. But you just made it into a non-story by saying, in a good way, saying all of these teams do this. In this specific case, stop focusing on the Pats. I know you get frustrated by this because you hate them.
When you have...
I didn't say stop focusing on the Pats. That's not what I said.
I took it that
way. You took it a bridge.
He's spinning.
That's not what I said.
When you have your organization tied to what people think is stealing a Super Bowl because of alleged cheating... Any time that you're connected to stuff like this, as long as you have the same head coach in place, you're going to be a story. You can't escape it.
I understand that. And you said about Dion, people hate us because they ain't us. Just saying.
He's not breaking any rules.
How many snaps did he play for the Patriots? There's a lot of us and we in there.
That's right.
There's a lot of us and we in there. Hypothetically.
Okay. I snapped during the Patriots games. Okay. All right, coming up. Are the Bills flying under the radar? And could that actually be a good thing for Josh Allen? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I just looked down. I thought that was Smalls that said that. That wasn't you. Wow. I thought you were
That's
one.
That's a compliment to think, yeah. I could do the salt and pepper.
Right?
Ow! Like that.
I'm so afraid to do it now because
don't
of the
do
podcast.
It. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't me to do it and her not to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's on brand for you. It's off brand for
Thank
her.
Thank you.
She's got an image to protect.
Thank you,
she hangs out with Andy Cohen in The Real Housewives.
Andy, let's hang out. Let's get lunch.
You know, she actually hasn't, and I actually think that you could and should.
What, hang out with Andy?
Yeah.
I would love to hang out with Andy.
He's wonderful. I've interviewed him multiple times. He couldn't be nicer.
I've interviewed him,
what
too.
What a name
He's
drop.
Great.
You want to pick that up?
You did it.
I'm just saying, what a name drop. He's actually wonderful. I've interviewed him several times.
I've been to lunch many times.
No, you know what? Now I'm actually
Who the hell is this guy, Dan Rather? What are you talking about?
Not Dan Rather.
I've interviewed him several times.
Coming up on the evening news. I am now disappointed in you that you have not hung out with Andy Cohen because you have so many connections to him.
We are both from St. Louis. We have a lot of mutuals, but no, I haven't.
We have a lot of mutuals.
We have a lot of mutuals. St. Louis is a small place, you know? We're all very interconnected.
All right, we have to get him on.
Andy, we would love to have you on the show.
One quick question before we get to the Bills, because I had a revelation in my head about the Bills yesterday I wanted to throw at you, and it is on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. In no way, shape, or form are we looking at this signing a guy off a practice squad in the NFL week of the game as quote-unquote cheating. Is that correct?
No, that's not cheating.
All right. Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
No, and here's the other thing. It's so hard to win in the NFL. If you ain't cheating, you really ain't trying. So
look at that smile. Look at that smile on the TV.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Man, the Patriots try so hard.
They try so hard.
They're trying the hardest.
Try so hard.
So I had this I had this thought yesterday. I'm like, you know, before the season and the last couple of seasons, who are the teams that we were talking about a bunch, right? Talking about Kansas City. We're talking about Philadelphia, obviously the two teams in the Super Bowl. We talked a ton about Cincinnati, who were in the Super Bowl a few years ago. San Francisco winning all those games before the season or at the end of last year. The Bears were a hot topic in the offseason.
The Jets
were a hot topic in the offseason. The Cowboys, right? We go into the season, Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, four plays into the season, and somehow they still win that game.
Yeah.
And we come on the air the next day on that Tuesday, and we, I think rightfully so, annihilate Josh Allen. All-time bad turnover performance. And we really take him to task. How can this still be a thing? Then the last 2 weeks they have games, they both win. They win both of them.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't said a word about them. And I'm starting to think that maybe that first game of the season for the Buffalo Bills was the single best thing that could happen. It gave them a little wake-up call. We can't coast. Josh Allen is still turnover-prone. We have to get other guys involved. James Cook has had a good start to his season at the running back position. And that maybe us being a little bit more silent, no Diggs versus Allen stuff, us kind of flying under the radar, us getting that wake-up call, may have ended up being the best possible thing for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, here's the thing. The Buffalo Bills are in a division with the Miami Dolphins, so they're going to be the lead because Tua is now the front runner to win MVP, and they just hung 70 on the Denver Broncos. So nobody is checking for the Bills, especially when they're playing against teams that they should beat. You got the Raiders at home, and you got the upstart Washington Commanders who have a first-year starting quarterback. You should beat those people. This has been a double-digit win team each of the last four seasons. So why would we give them flowers for winning games that they're favored in, games that they should win? Like, we took Josh Allen to task because a game against the Jets with no Aaron Rodgers was a game they should win. And the only reason that his team lost was because of all of his turnovers. He had four turnovers in one game. So, yeah, Smalls, I mean, I think we're not talking about the Bills because what we've seen from them the last 2 weeks is really unremarkable.
Couldn't agree more. It's the opponents and why we're not talking about them. We're going to be talking about the Bills a lot this week as they face the Dolphins. We're going to be talking about them a lot in the next week as they face the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I don't know if it's the external attention that could be detrimental to Josh Allen and the Bills, because they've had the pressure before. I think they understand, whether we're talking about them on this show or nationally, that they have a finite amount of time that they have a window to win. So whether we're talking about them or they feel like they're the top of the headlines or whatever, I think the pressure is going to remain the same.
Yeah, but I think the idea of them being boring and them kind of being irrelevant the last couple of weeks because of the opponents, the Raiders and the Commanders, is exactly what this team needs. I don't think they should be spectacular. I think that every time they try to be spectacular and try to have us talk about them, and what I mean by that is Josh Allen make insane plays, they end up turning the ball over. They end up actually losing those games. I think them being boring and them not being exciting actually is a better formula for winning. I don't think Josh Allen is in the same class as Patrick Mahomes. I don't think right now he's playing obviously nearly as well as Tua. I think that's pretty clear. Tua's the MVP of this league. I would take Jalen Hurts over him. I may be in the minority on that, but I would take Jalen Hurts over him. I would take Joe Burrow over him. But if he can become more boring, I actually will start to like him more. As odd as that sounds, there were games... And yes, my obsession with Tom Brady is going to come out here. But there were games with Tom Brady that you would watch and be like, what happened here? And the whole point of the game was, we don't really need to do too much. The moment I start to try to do too much, we have a better chance of actually losing. So I'm just going to give the ball to this guy and that guy and dump it off to Gronk and dump it off to Edelman and let them do the work, and away we go, and let the defense and special teams win. There were boring Tom Brady games, as odd as that may sound. I think boring Josh Allen games are more of a formula for winning.
I agree with you completely. I mean, anytime Josh Allen throws the ball more than 40 times, it doesn't equal good things for the Buffalo Bills. Since the start of 2021, Josh Allen has had 36 starts. His team is 26-10. But when you look at the games where he's thrown the ball more than 40 times, his team is 5-7 in those games. His QBR drops a full 7 points, and you're talking about having a lower completion percentage and a lower touchdown to interception ratio. Josh Allen, less is more when it comes to your overall team success. And when we start pointing to the reasons why this team can't get over the hump, we start looking at the mistakes that Josh Allen has made in the postseason. All you got to do is go back to last year, all of the turnovers. The guy had, what, 23 turnovers in 18 games, 7 of them being in the red zone? Those types of things can't happen if you want your team to have high-level success. So I think less is more for Josh Allen when it comes to throwing the football. Lean into your run game. Lean on your receivers in the short passing game. Let them do the heavy lifting. And when it's time for you to be Superman in the quarterback design runs and gotta-have-it situations, you still can dial that up. But I think Josh Allen has to recognize that the identity of this team has to shift in order for them to have success in the postseason, because him trying to do it all hasn't worked.
So give us the number quickly here. You have completions plus rushing attempts as 50-plus in order for a team to win, right?
Absolutely.
Give us the Josh Allen number that Chris Canty will look at a game in which Josh Allen attempts how many passes, and you'll say, I think they'll win if that's it. Meaning you don't want it to be too much. What's the number?
35. Yeah, and look at it. The last couple of games, Josh Allen against the Raiders, 37 pass attempts. Josh Allen against the Commanders, 32 pass attempts. That's where he needs to live.
Between 32 and 37.
Yeah, somewhere between 30 and 35. If that's his pass attempts, they are going to win that game.
And if you go closer to 40, you're assuming they're going to lose.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so there you go.
That's a fair assumption.
Be boring. Not for us. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah,
exactly. The Jets done adding to their QB room? We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, I'm not taking the heat on this. I specifically asked Javonte Lawrence, our producer, does all the audio and music and everything. I said, play Ether. That's what Kimberly A. Martin
asked for. That's what she asked for, yeah.
You heard me say that, right?
I heard it. It happened.
Christopher, stop it.
I'm just saying, Javonte went rogue on this one. I'm blaming him. I'm not blaming Ev. He specifically said Ether, Kmart.
She's vibing. She's
listening.
Listen.
Different story.
Yes.
There you
Kimberly's got the Nickelback going on. But Kimberly, you cannot put this on us. I'm a point the thumb, not the finger guy. I'll take the blame. I'm not going Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, whatever, or Justin Fields. I said to Javonte, we need Ether coming back for Kimberly A. Martin.
The different vibes here. Like, you give me Nickelback, which I love. But Ether would have been so hot. But I see you guys are trying to embarrass me. But I am not embarrassed about liking this song. It's fine.
Oh.
Okay. There it is. Here we go.
It's a hard segue.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's not that hard when you consider what Joe Namath had to say about Zach Wilson this week now, is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. But before we get to the football, I need to ask something. So last night, per sources close to me, and I mean Twitter, the most generous, wonderful guy, Mike Greenberg, who has been amazing to us since we started. And, of course, you can hear him at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And he, of course, built this Mike and Mike forever. And we are living on their land, their real estate now and building our own house. He took a whole crew to dinner last night. But per sources, the dinner may have been a little too early. Kimberly, what happened last night? Go ahead.
Listen, I don't know why you want to, like, mess up a happy home. I see that's the energy you're on today. Last week, me and the Greenies had dinner, and it was the same time, and I didn't complain. So, you know, it's going to be the early bird special, and it's fine. It is completely fine. By the time you get home, you're still hungry, but it's okay. Because No, I'm just playing. No, it's good. It's good because – honestly, I was able to come home and still do some more work. So it's good. We had a good time. I love our get up family. So
let's just say this. Somebody who was at that dinner in the hallway said to me, we had a great time, but 5:30 is a little early.
It was 5:45.
Kimberly wasn't the person that said that. No joke.
No,
it was somebody else.
No, I would never. I would never.
Somebody did.
Based on who's on the show today, I can guess who said it. But no, yeah. But we talk for so long. Like, we're there for hours just, like, having a good time, and I think that's the mark of a great show, where, like, the vibes that you see on screen, they're legit. We feel like a family offset as well, so I do love that. Whether we're dining at 2 a.m., 2 p.m., or 5:45 in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, let's talk about their team then, if we're going to go there. The Jets. So Aaron Rodgers says yesterday that the Jets as an offense got to stop pointing fingers, got to grow up a little bit. What do you think he meant by that, and who specifically was he targeting?
Literally everybody. I think it was needed. And what I find interesting about the comments was they were dead on. But those are actually comments that I think Robert Saleh should say. Like, I think Robert Saleh should get up to the podium and say, I don't care. Like, Breece Hall, I don't care if you think you should get the ball more. Like, you know, Garrett Wilson, if he's unhappy with this, if Sauce feels like he should be tracking guys and he should be following the teams, opposing teams, number one, we don't care. We do it this way. And we will stick together. Like, that's the thing, because when Aaron came here, before he even came here, when he signed here, but before, you know, during OTAs, I remember talking on Get Up about who's going to be the leader of this organization, who's going to be the leader of this team. And it was very clear very early on that it was going to be Aaron Rodgers. And the absence of Aaron Rodgers, the same issue that has affected the Jets for several years, is there is a leadership vacuum in the locker room. Now, back when they were going to back-to-back AFC title games, you had guys like Damian Woody. You had guys, like, you had a nickname, like, you had vets. You had vets. This is a young team, and they all mean well. They all want to win, but these are young kids who are frustrated, And it's literally 2022 all over again, which is this guy, he's not getting the job done. And they want to be good teammates, and they are good teammates. But the losing is taking a hold. And I just wonder how the rest of the season will play out.
Kmart, the Jets added Trevor Siemian yesterday to their roster. Are they done adding to the quarterback room?
Who else do you want them to get,
Chris? I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, here's the problem that the Jets face. We talk about this all day on TV. Like, what about Kirk Cousins? If the Vikings, like, if they scuffle, like, could Kirk? By the time you are able to get anybody else, what is the Jets' record? What is the point at that point? Aaron's supposed to be coming back. I think when you look at the San Francisco 49ers after they lost Jimmy G, they went from NFC champions to then I think they were like 6-10. When the Rams, they came off the Super Bowl and like Matt Stafford gets hurt and like all of a sudden Sean McVay's offense looks terrible. And it's like this is just what happens when you have your guy go down for a season. It is hard to resurrect that. Now, the 49ers in recent years, showing with Brock Purdy, like, yeah, they struck gold there. But that is a completely different team. But you've seen that there's really nobody else right now that you can add. And this is why fans wanted them to sign someone. Well, guess what they did? And fans are still not happy. And I understand why. But there's real internally, they understand that, you know, there's nothing they can really do here.
Kmart, just as a follow-up, because you said Aaron Rodgers is coming back, does that give Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh a pass for what happens this season?
Internally, you can feel the pressure mounting. I don't know if Woody Johnson is going to look at it, the whole picture, and say, well, we lost the guy. It's okay. We'll just restart it next year. That's why I say I'm curious how this season goes. Because are you going to have Robert Saleh? Could you foresee a future where Robert Saleh is not the head coach next year? Yeah, you could. Depending on how Woody Johnson feels about how this season unfolds. And you already see it's week 3, and you already see tensions mounting and guys getting frustrated. If they don't rein it in, I'm not just talking about winning games, just reining it in and being productive and the defense playing at the level that it needs to. Zach Wilson taking, at least showing that he can be an NFL starter at some point. I don't know how this entire situation unfolds. I really don't.
Kimberly, so much of what we're saying about the Jets is also applicable to the Chicago Bears. Questions about the quarterback, questions about a potential regime change. What do you think is more likely, that the Bears and Justin Fields find a way to have some success this season and maybe turn the tide? Or do you think we're talking about them being the leaders in the clubhouse in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes?
Unfortunately, Michelle, I think they're going to be the leaders for Caleb Wilson, and not because I want that to be the case. This is why I didn't want Justin Fields going to this organization. And I've said it on TV before. This is an organization that was in flux when he was drafted. You were looking at Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, the GM and head coach that were there previously, and you knew they were on borrowed time. So it made no sense for these two guys to make a draft pick knowing that they were on the hot seat. And ultimately, after Justin's first year, they're gone. Now you bring in a new regime, and you're thinking, okay, there's the cupboard's bare, but all right, the kid can be good. And now this year is just shocking. It's the same staff, same QB, better roster, and it looks worse. It feels very much like Justin just needs a new, like, change of scenery. Like, as same as Zach Wilson, like, it just doesn't feel like it will work here until as a staff you say, what is our guy good at? Let's tailor our game plan to highlight everything that he is good at. And it seemed like you saw that a little bit last year, and I don't know what is happening now. So that's why I say, Michelle, that I would not be shocked if they are in the running for a quarterback. And that makes me sad because he is a talented kid, and I hate the situation for him.
Kimberly, thank you so much. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. We're going to get our music right next week. Or did we get it right this week?
I think we got it right this week.
We got it right this week.
We went from Nickelback to Ether. I think we gave it a
remix.
We gave it a best of both worlds without having Jay-Z on it.
Such range. Exactly. Diversity.
Well done. We'll see her on Get Up, of course, at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. By the way, it is interesting thinking about the dinner. Greeny's amazing. And Greeny took the whole crew to dinner from Get Up last night.
I feel like I take that personal, though.
That you're not a part of it?
Yeah, I'm not in the inner circle. I'm not in the circle of trust for Greeny.
Okay, but here's the thing. What's the right time for a dinner?
I don't have a problem with the 5:30, 5:45 dinner because that means I get home before the streetlights come on. Like, I'm all about that.
I think I need a 6.
No, I don't need that.
I can't go to dinner in a 5.
15 minutes?
It means something. We get up at
4 o'clock in the morning. I have no problem doing early dinner. The five o'clock dinner. Sign me up for that. Let's do it.
Oh, I think it's got to be at 6. I think if you tell me it's okay, 5:45, I can deal with it because I won't eat till after 6.
Okay.
5:30, there's a chance I'm eating before 6, and then like Kimberly, I would be the same way. I'm going to get hungry by the time I get home again. That's the problem.
How are you going to get hungry after you eat?
It's a mental thing. I'm telling you. Like Smalls brought in food today.
I did.
And it's really not right.
So inside of you is a fat kid that's just dying to
outside
get out.
Outside, too.
Outside.
I mean, it's not just inside. It is outside. You can tweet at us at UnsportsESPN, at Evco Radio, at ChrisCanty99, at M. Smallman. Okay, you can tweet at us and be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper line. What is the right time for dinner? What is the right time for dinner? I think it has to have a 6 or later.
We're outliers because we wake up earlier than
but
the
so
average
bear. So is everybody
bear.
Listening and watching.
I have a 7:30 dinner tonight, and I'm worried I'm going to fall asleep at the table.
That feels late, though.
If
I
they
agree.
Said no, in any normal circumstance, 7:30 is the perfect.
Yeah,
window.
But here's the thing:
spot.
I don't
but
mind
we get
having.
Up early.
I don't mind having dinner at home at around 7 o'clock. But I'm at home. Like, I could have dinner, shower up, and go to bed.
Right, so you're
like
meeting friends.
If I'm going out to have dinner, I'd rather be on the earlier side.
All right, so let's pretend this, right? So let's say we're going to meet tonight. Well, you have a dinner. Let's say we're meeting tomorrow night for dinner, the three of us, okay? And there's no football on. What time are we setting the dinner? I'm saying 6.
I'm saying 5:30. No later than 5:30.
Smalls?
I don't have a problem with 5.
And we have to go to work the next day. It's not a Friday.
Yeah, I'm saying non-weekend.
5:30. Yeah. Early.
Early.
See, I'm trying to get to bed, Evan. Get some beauty rest.
You're in a minority, Ev. Just accept it.
Yeah, I would go 6. I would go 6. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. You could be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. You're meeting friends for dinner. What time are you meeting? Coming up. Can't wait for this. Someone on this show got absolutely roasted on First Take yesterday. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
She is Michelle Smallman. He is Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. Poll question is out for all of the Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper chime in line. If you are meeting friends for dinner, what time are you meeting them? At Unsports ESPN, at ESPN Radio, at ChrisCanty99, at M. Smallman, at Evco Radio. Greeny, unbelievably generous. He and his family, they've been amazing to us so far as we started the show. Took the Get Up crew to dinner last night. Dinner was at 5:30. Was that too early? You guys are saying no, perfect time, so you can weigh in on that. I don't know that the First Take crew is taking Chris Canty out to dinner anytime soon. Maybe out back is what they took him yesterday.
Wow.
Let's take a listen to what they had to say about our very own CeCe on First Take.
Chris Canty, I hear you coming on the show too with your hoodie on and all of that other stuff. It's a standard in First Take. You can see we bring it. I expect the same from you and that damn Jeff Saturday. First Take's in the hands.
Chris Canty, New York City in the fall. There is no better time. Hoodie weather.
Oh, for sure. It's
Come
hoodie
on.
Season. I'm going to need Stephen A. to stall me out when it comes to the hoodie.
It's like
I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, bruh, and it's cold outside. It's 50 degrees. I'm sorry I wasn't suited and booted. I just got the bat signal from you about 30 minutes ago that you wanted me on the show.
Hold on,
I don't back down to nobody, including you.
Hold on, it's not your time to speak yet. I'm not done with New York City in the fall, Stephen A.
That bat signal. Don't, that's between me and you, brother. You ain't got to tell nobody about that. Don't keep that to yourself. Don't tell nobody that. Chris Canty, I don't know if the problem is with your hoodie or the problem is you woke up too damn early. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you this morning. Something wrong with you, bro.
Wow. You want to respond here?
I don't even know. Like, he's attacking my wardrobe. Pat right. Costello started the week attacking my wordrobe. Remember the sweater I wore on Monday?
He's talking about Waldo.
Where's
I mean,
Waldo?
Chris.
Today on the group chat, he's sending pictures of the Gorton's fishermen, talking about that's what I look like, saying I'm the man in the yellow hat with Curious George.
Look, I'm just saying
with
that
Kmart,
I trust him.
And what she had on, the side-by-side pictures of both of us, she's got ketchup and mustard. Like, I just feel assaulted right now. I feel like I got to walk down the hallway to HR and say that Pat Costello is bullying me right now based on what I'm wearing, my wardrobe. He's attacking me personally, and it doesn't feel good.
I don't like it, Pat.
I
do want to point out, though, that you did come correct today with the sweater. You got hazed a little bit for wearing the hoodie on First Take, and you came today with a beautiful sweater.
But he's not on First Take today.
But I'm saying maybe you internalized that a little bit, CeCe, about the hoodie, and you came correct
today.
But
that's not a good thing, though, right? It's not a good thing for somebody else to have that much influence over what I'm deciding to put on and wear for the day. Like, that's a problem.
Well, that influence you moving forward in terms of when you're on First Take or will you prepare yourself just in case you get the bat signal?
But that's the thing. I don't know if I'm going to be on First Take. I can't dress up every single day for the hopes of, hey, I might be on First Take today.
That's why I dress up. That's why I wear a
you
button.
You never dress up.
Right,
because
I know the
and
answer.
And when you do dress up, you look like a car salesman. So stop. Like,
used car salesman.
Used car, not even new cars. Damn, small.
Well, I don't think I'm really? Going to get the bat signal. So that's why. I don't have to worry about that. I would like to get the bat signal.
You are getting the bat signal. I heard you're going to be moonlighting on Friday. We don't have to get into it, but
I am.
You're going to be doing a little moonlighting on Friday. There
I
you
am.
Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway,
so
I digress.
How did you do, though, overall? Because they had you on to talk about your Joe Burrow take and how you don't think that Joe Burrow should have played on Monday night, even in a win. Do you feel like you held your own against Stephen A. and Shannon?
No, I didn't hold my own. Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp kicked my you-know-what.
I mean,
they're masters at debating. They really are. But, I mean, my whole point about Joe Burrow, it still remains the same. I don't think that they should have played him. Just because you got the result that you're looking for doesn't mean you made the right decision. And then beyond that, the guy that's out there playing, it ain't Joe Burrow. It's not. Like, Joe Burrow has been known for being able to lead an explosive passing attack. He's only got 2 completions on throws of 15 air yards or more on the season, and he's got the same amount of interceptions on said throws. So I just – it's not the same guy, and on top of that, you're running the risk of getting this dude hurt. I just don't think it's worth it.
All right. Well,
you
yesterday were on Stephen A's bottom five in terms of dressing, obviously, that he had you in the bottom five, and now let's hear who you have in your bottom five of NFL teams so far this season.
There's the music. You know I need it. Let's get it kicked off. Number five.
Number five.
The Minnesota Vikings, a 13-win team from a year ago. They hosted a home playoff game, and now you're talking about them starting off 0-3 and losing to a team that finds new and creative ways to lose every single week in the LA Chargers. The coach, Brandon Staley, decided that he was going to go from his own 24-yard line inside the 2-minute warning with his team nursing a 4-point lead. Gave the Vikings a point-blank scoring opportunity. If it doesn't bounce off of T.J. Hockenson's hands, then you're probably talking about a different result in that game, and yet the Vikings found a way to lose. This is a squad that lost to Baker Mayfield at home in week one to start the season. I didn't anticipate that Minnesota was going to be this bad. I know Ev said they're going through a sneaky rebuild, but, I mean, they shouldn't be in the situation that they're in now, especially with the production they're getting from Kirk Cousins. Keep it pushing. Let's go.
Number four.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I picked them to be in the AFC Championship game as one of my bold predictions. I'm already ready to come off of that, and we're in week three. I thought Trevor Lawrence was ready to make that leap to being an elite quarterback. Nah, he ain't ready for prime time, and neither is his team. They should be a lot better than they are. T-Law hasn't been good when it comes to throwing the football in the red zone, in the scoring area, and I think that's one of the indicators for quarterback play. And so, yeah, I think this Jacksonville Jaguars team has to be viewed as one of the biggest disappointments in the league thus far. Next.
Number three.
Chicago Bears. They're a dumpster fire, which understood ain't got to be said. I ain't got to spend a whole lot of time on that. Fire everybody. Get rid of everybody. Get a new starting quarterback in 2024. I know that the house is burning down and they're trying to put out the flames. The hell with that. Just let it go all the way to the ground, and then you build it fresh starting next year. Next.
Number two.
The Denver Broncos, Sean Payton was supposed to be able to fix Russell Wilson. I think Sean Payton is realizing that he needs another quarterback in Denver. I get it. Everybody wants to defend Russ and say that the defense is awful. But the Denver Broncos are top five when it comes to cap allocation on the offensive side of the ball. Three of the four top salary cap hits on the team are offensive players. This is a team that has to win with their offense. Russell Wilson ain't doing that. So there, he's as much of the problem as the defense is when it comes to why it's so bad in Denver. But there can only be one team that takes the cake when it comes to the most disappointing so far this season.
Number one.
That would be the New York Jets, the team that looks at Trevor Siemian as the answer. And we're going to keep backing Zach Wilson. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing wrong with the quarterback. Zach is getting better no matter what the numbers say. Rob Saleh, you can lie to us. You can't lie to the guys in that locker room. They know that Zach Wilson ain't the answer. And Aaron Rodgers from his Malibu beach house, it ain't going to matter what he has to say about guys finger pointing because he ain't there with him in Florham Park. It's ugly times ugly with the New York Jets. I don't know that it's going to get any better this season. And the Jets could be one of those teams that also finds themselves in the Caleb Williams sweepstake at the end of the year.
By the way, on the TV side, on 2 and You, they've dressed you up. You have
they
a nice suit on so
normally,
people can see that.
Normally, it's you in your uniform.
Coming up, Aaron Rodgers has a message for his teammates next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.